to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Let's go and see the stars,
Milky Way. Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones Talking PPG Radio. Well, got something for you, or one thing for you today. I talked to Terry Lucky, Falcon 4-stroke, out of Dorn, Michigan, or manufacturing, or anyway, you guys have heard Terry on here before, and he called me today, and I actually was going to call him because there was a little kind of incident that happened here in our field locally. Nothing as far as, accident, as far as, you know, somebody got hurt or injured, but it was one of those deals where it's something good to talk about, something to go over. And for you new guys or whatever, think about it when you are actually coming out to the field. And, you know, a lot of us being new, was the same way. Was chopping at the bit to get flying, so it's all about kiting and triking, and so we just kind of sit down and I tell him about that little incident, and we just kind of go over some training things, and we go from there, and I will talk to you on the other end of me and Terry about something. And so thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy Will Jones Talking PPG Radio. And let me thank Terry for coming on and getting his time, and he'll be back on again, I'm sure. Anyway, here we go. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones Talking PPG Radio. I was at work today and I got a buzz by a good friend, Terry Lucky, which I'm glad he called because I actually was going to call him because there was a kind of a little thing that happened here locally or whatever. Nothing dangerous or anything like that. I just wanted to talk to him about, and we're going to talk about that, about kiting and triking a little bit. And well, Terry, welcome back, man. How you doing?
Well, good, Will. Yeah, we caught up today, and in fact, I called Will today because I had a just recently trained somebody, and he was from Louisville.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he was at the conclusion of his training. I said, "Where are you going to fly from?" He said, "Well, I'm looking at a park." I go, "Uh-oh."
Hold on. Back
yeah,
up.
Just, I got a hold of Will, and I said, as I sent him an email, and I said, "This is where the city guys fly. Give him a call." So he's going to call you, I guess.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I hope so. And guys, that's the main thing is, you know, you really have to think about where you want to take off at so you don't kind of mess it up for everybody else, especially new guys and everything. If you can actually get in touch with somebody, hopefully, in your area. And we just now are recently, I was telling Terry, are starting to get, you know, several flyers here in the area here for the longest time. You know, I was by myself for about a year. This is like 7 years ago. I've been doing about 7 or 8 years. And then Jim Stein, who got trained, and me and him have been flying basically, you know, I guess the Louisville, and he actually lives in Indiana just across the river from me, the contingency. And so we're slowly getting people in this area to fly. I think right now, Terry, we've probably got maybe about 5 guys. But as far as consistently been flying for the last year, it's just me and Jim. So, but it's always a good.
Yeah. So when you go out on a nice evening or whatever, you can count on somebody being at the field normally.
Yes. Yes.
Along with you.
Yeah. See, mm-hmm. Terry, it's funny because I'm glad you brought that up. I'm at that point now since I've been doing it for so long. I don't really get a lot of enjoyment going out by myself. You know. When I first started and everything, it was like, I don't need nobody. I'm gone, you know. But I find myself here lately flying with, you know, someone else or a couple of guys or whatever. Just, I don't know what it is. It's just, you know, I enjoy that more. I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah.
Well, you know, quite often in my case, I'm either training. I mean, when I go to Wayland Airport, I'm either training or I'm flying a new machine. And then, of course, when I'm training, I have, you know, somebody else there. When I'm flying a new machine, it's nice to have somebody there because even though I'm really confident in what I do, it is a new machine. And so, you know, something screws up, but it's really nice to have a friendly face on the field with you. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, guys, you have to realize, Terry, when I first met him, he was always one of the first ones in the air with that at the fly-ins. And so it was like, but you never heard him, though. His Falcon 4-stroke was really quiet, so, you know, so.
Yeah. I had the curse of being able to get up early, not being able to sleep late, I should say, so.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds familiar. So how's manufacturing going and everything? Everything all good? And,
We're doing fine. We've got steady. You know, it's different than last year, in my case anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I may have mentioned this to you earlier, but we had a sluggish start to our season. You know, here in Michigan, our season, we're very seasonal.
Uh-huh.
And we had a tough spring, you know, as did most of the country. So we had a tough spring for weather and wind, and which influenced you know, the phone, no doubt about it, in order. So now we're kind of getting the swing, and it feels good. And,
good.
Getting the welder cranked up again, and I got a couple in production right now, and shipped one last week, so I feel pretty good right now. So.
Great. Hey, how did that guy get in touch with you from here? Did he just check your website out? How did he hear about you, I guess, maybe I should say?
Oh, yeah, good question. I mean, we spoke about it, and, of course, he said from the web.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. He had gone to San Diego and trained with Del Shant on the beach, I guess. So he had, by the time he came to me, he did not have gear, but he did have a couple of successful launches and landings at the conclusion of his class there. So he wasn't a total newbie when he came to me, although he hadn't done wheels at that point. So, but I think the back, he was not a very big guy.
Okay.
And so I think the backpack experience, at the very least, told him that he probably wanted wheels versus running.
Right.
And then that led to that investigation, which led to me. So it was through the forums or nowadays Facebook or whatever, you know.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Yeah, I always wondered how. And you were saying he was actually a immigrant from, what'd you say, Thailand?
Vietnam.
Vietnam. Yes. Okay. Well,
yep.
Thailand. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, look, hopefully he'll give a call, please, you know, because I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, once we got a little bit of a language hurdle there, but his English was way better than my Vietnamese, so.
Yeah, of course, there you go.
So we managed, we got through, and we had a great time. He came on, you know, he allotted a week. This starts going to lead into our discussion, I think, in a way. He allotted me a week, which was his vacation time from his job.
Okay.
And that's pretty standard. You know, somebody says, well, I'm going to take this week off and I'm going to come up and train. And he came on Monday morning super early, not this past Monday, but the Monday previous.
Yeah.
And the weather just totally sucked.
Oh,
it was blowing and raining. And then the forecast was, you know, more of the same. And so we literally did nothing until Thursday.
Wow. Okay.
And so, you know, this sort of leads into, you know, the topic that we had bounced around earlier today, which was, you know, having to do with training.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I'm going to say this, and I think all instructors have the same situation. That is, you know, we have a lot to learn in a very, to teach, I should say. Our students have a lot to learn in a very compressed schedule.
Yes.
And the best laid plans are the week. We're going to give it 7 days. But in reality, it can often be 3 days,
right.
3-4 days.
Yes. Yeah.
By the time you shrink down for weather and all that. And so, you know, it's not that instructors want to abbreviate training, but it's just a fact of life. People have jobs and they have obligations and we have bad weather.
Exactly.
And that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because that's kind of what happened to me. Guys, of course, if you don't know, I am a flight junkie, you know, with Kurt there. Actually, when he was in Florida, you know, I had put off, you know, had several days. It was like you said, you know, take some time off, and I had the same thing. And it got very abbreviated, you know. So I exactly know what you mean. And a lot of times it's best to maybe get more, no, it is best to get some more training if you, you know, if possible, if you don't feel comfortable, so. But.
Well, and this is what happens. People leave the school, and as with this most recent student of mine, he left the school with flights.
Yes.
And he did a great job. There was no... But the conditions were perfect. I got a half-mile-long runway. He had done all his taxi practice out there, so he had that familiarity with it. And then to see this low-time pilot, a good taxier,
right.
A good taxi guy,
right.
But this super low-time pilot go and tell me, oh, yeah, I'm going to fly out of a park.
Right.
When you're trained on a half-mile runway.
Yes.
That's 300 yards wide.
Yeah.
And then to go to that situation, I mean, just for any legitimate trainer, it should send shivers down your spine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. You're exactly right. Because, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I think a lot of us, you know, we worry about is like that one person in our area, okay, Louisville, he does something like that, and then, you know, uh-oh. You know, we're all basically will be blanketed in, you know, under, you know, for some type of, you know, no fly, no this and no that, you know, always scary. So.
Wow, yeah. I mean, there's all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's a horrible thing for the family. It's a bad thing for everybody else associated with the sport. And
yeah.
It gets more personal with the trainer and with your, you know, you're going to meet this guy and you're going to, you know, soon become some sort of friends. And it's just bad all the way around.
Yeah.
So we all want good outcomes and the more we can do to ensure that is the goal.
One of the things I think, and you new guys out there that are, you know, with some training or just been released from your trainer, I think one of the biggest things that is go or no go, you know, is it a good time to fly or, you know, we're talking weather wise. That's, and also location, which, you know, to cover, I always found, you know, to be one thing that you really, really should concentrate on, you know, go to your weather websites and see what the winds are doing and things like that, so.
Oh, yeah, and there's no substitute for, you know, going to the field and you know, it can look good at your house.
Yes.
You drive 20 minutes to your field, it can look better, or it can look the same, or it can look worse.
Yes.
And there's no shame in sitting on the ground, not being the first one in the air, and at the end of the evening, pack it all up and go home.
And go home.
Oh, and not
my gosh, how
there's,
many times, yeah.
There's exactly.
Yeah.
And there's certainly no, you know, if you have a hard time doing that, you get yourself a little model airplane or a model glider or something
yes.
to entertain yourself. You don't have to put your body in the air. That's the main thing.
I talked about last time we were on, I had that situation where we waited and waited and waited. And it's funny because Jim, he actually, he's backpacking, got in there. He said, oh, it's rough. It's you know, it's kind of, you know, you get up to here, I kind of here. And he had been flying for a bit. But okay. I was on the ground with one other person in a trike. And I waited, and I got it. It looks like I had a decent wind. It was trash. And one of the things, guys, if you don't know, you feel a whole lot more with trike as far as, you know, bad winds and swinging and swaying than you will backpacking. So that was...
Well, this is a phenomenon I have to do with trike. And I'm far enough away from... I mean, I used to do a lot of foot launch, but I've never trained much foot launch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do any foot launch anymore. I don't certainly don't. I don't train for it. I don't offer any training for that. But for would-be trikers, what you say is the truth. One thing you'll notice right away when you get into a trike is that you get a lot of pitching fore and aft in sporty winds.
Yes.
And I think this has to do with you know, with the weight out front.
Yeah.
It will get you going like that. It sort of accentuates the pitching. And, of course, with a backpack foot launch, the weight's very focused and concentrated right near your back.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a spire and a wheel out front and everything else hanging out there. So the trikers typically, with some exception, are the first ones out of the air when the winds start getting jumpy. So.
Yes, yes, and it's Pendulum City, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Whoa, scared that man, I couldn't get on the ground fast enough. I bet you the flight was 2 minutes, and it was like 2 minutes too long, you know, so,
yeah,
but you're right.
And this is probably even more accentuated, you know, we're talking about, you know, nowadays there's different classes of trikes, and you have sort of the typical lightweight trike that was paramotors were adapted to.
Yeah.
And they nowadays there's been some inroads with the heavier trikes, that is the four-stroke trikes and sort of dedicated trikes. They sort of find the spot somewhere between PPC and PPG, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah. But the heavier trikes are really not any better. They have some advantage in that they're more heavily loaded on the gliders. That's really a function of glider size.
Yeah.
And so we're loading the gliders heavier, so that gives us a bit of a smoother ride, I think, and it's only a faster ride. But you do have the 4F pitching is something that gets your attention in sporty winds, for sure.
I mean, when you are sizing up, I'm not sure exactly what size you actually suggest with your Falcon 4-stroke. Do you tend to go just to, you know, the exact size or a little smaller, or how do you go? Well, how do you figure that for your trike and everything?
Well, I'm of the opinion that we should be quite heavily loaded in our gliders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you know, once you get away from the need of foot launching, and, you know, having to run and land at a manageable speed, once you go to wheels, I tend to load the gliders up heavier.
Yeah, okay.
We'll typically look at well over placard. I don't mind flying 100 pounds over plastic.
Really? Okay.
Maybe more in some cases. And I do this with some authority from my wing supplier. We've had discussions about this.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's talk, and there's actually, in effect, there's some manufacturers. And don't quote me on this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
That I think Swing is one of them.
Okay.
That will, the standard paraglider that's used in paramotoring in free flight will use a 8x safety margin. And for the DHV testing, or destructive testing.
Okay, yeah.
And the trike wing suppliers, the wings that are going toward dedicated triking, they're using somewhat less of a safety margin, actually. They're going to 6G margin, which, of course, allows you to do some overloading.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Over the typical placard.
Yeah.
And so the trend is really going to be more towards heavier, more heavily loaded gliders. And the thought behind that is, at least part of it, is that the gliders, I'm sorry, that the trikers are not doing the same aerobatics, if you will.
Right.
Stressing the wing
quite
as hard. So in maneuvering, and so they're going to allow you to load the things up a little heavier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, you know, what was that, the Exciter that Fresh Breeze came out, you know, that's like a 20-something or whatever meter glider. When I first saw that compared to that two-seater, basically PPC or whatever, and I was like, wow, okay. And no problem at all, and you know,
yeah.
No problem at all. So,
Yeah, of course, you know, the counter argument to that will be, and always has been, that if you, in the event you have a collapse, and you're trying to shake things out, get the wing back into configuration, that the smaller, more heavily loaded glider becomes more less controllable and more trashy to get back into configuration.
Right.
Versus a larger glider. And not having ever had a serious collapse in either wing, either mm-hmm. size, either mm-hmm. configuration, I can't speak to it myself. But the if I had to counter that, I would say, you know, a collapse due to a heavier loaded wing, a collapse avoided is far better than a collapse recovered.
Right, right, yes.
Yeah, always, without a doubt. I will agree, yes, no doubt. No. Well, since we're talking about wings, one of the things we chit-chatted earlier today, I was telling you about a situation that kind of happened here, and it has to do with wing control, guys. And a lot of you guys that foot launch and stuff, that's one of the main things you actually work on is actually control, you know, kiting the wing is what, you know, what the trainers and what it's known for. And but as far as triking, and I don't know how much I don't know if you do anything other than letting them actually taxi with, you know, work on taxiing the wing overhead when in your training. You don't actually have them to try to kite without a trike or anything, do you, Terry?
No, we don't. It was a funny thing. I had a USPA administrator contact me this week, and we were talking about something else, but then he brought up this, you know, the USPA, which I'm not currently involved in. As an instructor, well, in any sense, but he said, you know, you got to consider this again and possibly get signed up as a USPA instructor.
Uh-huh.
And it was a friendly conversation.
Okay.
And basically what I said, you know, I understand the USPA program pretty well, and I know you have a syllabus and there's a way to train and we have classroom time. And I said, I was fresh coming off this experience with this individual from Louisville.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, typical training for me is 15 minutes after we're in the field, he's in the seat.
Right.
And we're doing pull-ups.
Yeah.
And we're doing, not reverses, of course, we're doing, you know, full-power pull-ups with a cart.
Yeah.
And he's learning how to, you know, damp the surge on the wing and control the glider right and left and get the thing centered. And from there, we start on the taxi skills. And so what we're doing, again, I mentioned my half-mile runway, is that we taxi, taxi, taxi. And I don't even attempt a flight until he can taxi the whole half-mile runway. There's just there's no exceptions. And so I'm always pushing them to correct their inflations, correct the ground speed, the taxi speed, get the wing centered, and be in control of the glider. In foot launch, often you'll have this where, you know, they pull the glider up and, you know, they sort of teach them to dart right. I mean, I'm speaking of forwards typically now. They'll teach them to sort of dart right and left, stay centered under the glider, maybe do some hand inputs.
Yeah.
And as soon as the glider is overhead, they, you know, they smash the throttle and they're gone. In triking, it's a little bit different because we're not running. We're not really limited by how much time we're on the ground. We're not getting exhausted by moving around. And particularly in zero wind situations, it just doesn't really matter. And so it's just vitally important that we teach really good, solid taxi skills. And, you know, I go so far as to say to these guys that every potential flight is really just a taxi. And in the end, turns out really good, and it's nice and solid and centered. That is, the glider is nice and solid and centered. And you just roll on some throttle, and you're gone. And I don't want to see anything different than that ever.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So where I was going with that is guys, there was a situation here with one of our members or whatever like that, hadn't been in the air for a while, had gotten some training and everything. Rusty, you know, first flight, you know, might as well say this spring. And me and Jim was actually, you know, going to meet him there and stuff like that. We were all going to have a nice evening flight or whatever. And here we are. We pull up the hill, and I see him in the middle of the field. And it's like, next thing I know, I see him walking, and you can just see him, like, you know, just mumbling to himself. And, well, you know, you want to blame field and equipment and all of that, you know. And so after, okay, so I walk up after kind of calming down and everything, after he, you know, at that point, and we've all been there, you know, we've had a situation like, man, that was stupid of me. I'm done with this, you know. And that's where he was. And it's like, so kind of walked up and calmly looking at what may have happened, looking at the field, looking to see if something came loose on the equipment. And, you know, and I'm hearing what he said. I know I had the wing locked in, and I looked, and I throttled, and next thing you know, I was rolled over on the side. It's like, huh, okay, well, I'm not seeing anything in the field. I'm not seeing anything as far as a equipment breakdown. What else could it be? And I told him, I said, look, from what I can tell, you know, there was none of these two things. There's only one other thing that could have gotten you, and that was wing control, you know. And, you know, the way it rolled him over and stuff. And, you know, I'll still say he's green. He's got maybe 20 flights, maybe, I think, and he did most of them down in Florida, you know. And sometimes it's hard to really, you know, as a new person. And my point is, guys, sometimes it's best, especially if you're green and you're really, I know it's gung-ho, and like we were talking about, this one guy's talking about taking off at the park, and you know there's people there to help you, maybe you should hang out for a little bit, you know, 5-10 minutes more, or just wait, and so you can get that extra help or coaching, you know, so.
Well, you know, there's that, and that's all certainly valuable. I go back to taxiing.
Yes.
We're talking about triking. We're talking about triking the wheels now.
Yes.
I go back to taxiing. That is, you're rusty. That there's no. The flight is not necessary.
Exactly. Yes.
What's important is to make sure that you're honing your taxi skills. You know, people aren't getting hurt in these things in the air. They're not getting hurt during the landings, technically. And they're not damaging the equipment. What they're doing is that when an incident with a trike is usually during the launch, where the wing is not centered at the time they power up. The wing doesn't know that it's not centered.
Right.
All it knows is that you apply power and speed, and it's going to take off. And
right.
As soon as you're off the ground, you're no longer centered under the glide. You'll swing back. Your wheel will touch the ground. And you're on your side.
Yes.
It happened so quick that the pilot himself may not even recollect what happened.
Yes. Yes.
And so I go back to there's no replacement for taxi.
Taxi.
Just keep practicing.
I definitely agree with you with that. What you just explained is probably what happened. It was like it looked like it was centered, as far as you can tell, you know. The last time I remember seeing him, he was one of those, he was almost afraid to get on the throttle at one point, you know. Come on, give it a go. Come on, get it, you know, get that wing pressured and centered and go, you know. So, I don't know, you know, I don't know, but from what I can see in this experience that I had, it was me telling him, you know, I don't think it was mechanical, my friend, you know.
Well, and the big thing is, you know, the first thing, of course, you got to accept responsibility for it.
Right.
This is what happened. You know, it was an input mistake that I made.
Yes.
Or a mistake, an input I didn't make. And part of this happens, you know, I can't speak to his situation exactly, but part of this happens during training. There's a lot of instructors who will. The wing comes up, and the next thing the student hears in their head is, go, go, go.
Right, yes.
Wrong. Next problem is that when you hear that, you know, we'll speak about triking. When you hear that as a triker, you're being cheated on your training.
Mm. Okay.
You know, it's not go, go, go. It's okay, now back off the throttle, get the wing centered. How far can you taxi? Can you be in control of that wing for the entire distance of this whatever runway you have? And so the go-go-go guys are, as students, you have to be aware of that, and as instructors, you shouldn't do it.
Hmm.
You just shouldn't.
Hmm. Okay. Wow, that's that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're exactly right. Because it is about wing control. Like you said, you can get in the air with no problem at all.
Yeah.
It's a matter
of... You see a lot of guys who, you know, went to foot launch school or trite school or whatever, mainly foot launch in this particular reference, is that they come out and, you know, they get through the first flight and they're happily flying along through life.
Yeah.
at some point, they pick up an interest in wing control again. I mean, you see, you know, people climbing up the side of their motorhomes, all this stuff.
Right, yes.
And that really is the essence of the skill.
Yeah.
It's the essence of the sport.
Yes, you're exactly
it's
right.
It's entirely different. It's a lot different between foot launch and trike launch.
Yeah.
In foot launch, there's a lot of footwork that goes into you sort of dodging back and forth to stay centered as you maintain a whatever level of forward momentum you need. In trike launch, particularly in early skills, steering under the wing when it comes up, it's the kiss of a rollover right there.
Mm.
And so they're really taught to go straight, basically,
yes.
with the front tire, and it's all in the hands and throttle control.
Yeah.
Quite different training in that sense. Although foot launchers, they adapt very easily to trikes. Probably not the other way around.
Yeah, well, as a trike, exactly right. It's funny because I'll hear, because, you know, it's funny because when I first, foot launch was, it was all right, you know, well, with the wing that I had, it was actually probably tougher, but when I actually sat down in a trike for the first time, it actually kind of like, okay, I was kind of scared, believe it or not, you know.
Yep.
Because, and it was one of those situations where not enough power at that time. Okay, I'm just going to go, you know. I'm just going to give it power and I'm going to go, you know. And I really didn't develop wing control until, you know, a few, and I did it, but I actually just trained myself on trike, you know. I said, oh, I'm a foot launcher, I can do it, you know.
Yeah.
But being able to steer around that corner, you know, with the wing inflated and you know, the turn, you know, and get in the air, unlike I did that one time when I went into Beedenfield, which I should have did, inflated,
yeah.
made
yeah,
the
yeah.
turn, and go. I was more thinking, sure. wings up and go, you know, so.
Yeah. You had to stay in focus on all the cameras, so that was your...
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of eyes and cameras on you right there.
Who's being patrolled?
Going around
the
corner would have got you out of focus. You know, one of the things, Chad, if anybody has an opportunity to go to Chad Bastian at American Power Truck Life.
Mm.
He's a fantastic wing control guy on a cart. And just from watching his videos some years back, I learned a lot. And, you know, for example, and this is probably something you practice already. On one of his videos, I think he mentioned that if you're going to make a turn on a cart with a wing up,
mm-hmm.
Either a, you know, 90-degree turn to switch runways or to just make course corrections on the runway you're on, is that you always tip the wing first in the direction you want to go.
Right.
And then gently steer the front tire chasing the wing, just sort of following the wing around. So
yeah.
It's always hand first, foot second, rather than... And so, you know, I've taken that, and I've sort of perfected it to my own use, and then... If I have time, I teach that right in the school.
Oh, excellent.
We have time to do that at the end of a course. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's nice to do this because after you land and if you want to taxi back towards the vehicles or get off at runway, this is how you do it. And so it's a skill they can build on. So there's a lot of really, really clever pilots, you know, experienced pilots like Chad and others who have gone through all this, and they found all these little wrinkles and skills that they've passed on through video. And they're able to watch this stuff.
Yeah. And Yes, yes. And once you get to it, you know, of course you do it just intuitively now, you know, you don't even think about doing it. It's just, it's, you know, after you've got the experience and everything, you know. So, and it's all about practice, guys. And like you said, you know, taxi, 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 you know, keep the wing inflated. Just be prepared to kill because you don't want to get it caught in the prop. So,
well, yeah, you know, and there's another thing. There's a lot going on with new pilots. You know, they've got adrenaline. I mean, even a 20 flight pilot who's gone through, you know, a course, mm-hmm. and then he's got some flights, and some of the flights have gone better than others, and maybe he picked some bad days to go, and
yeah.
wished he hadn't been up that day. But as instructors, there's a different side of it. You know, several of us, or a lot of us probably, have been in the flying for years, and then we came around towards instructing and done some of that. And I always say the good news is, as an instructor, I have 1,000 flights. I don't even know. I have a lot of flights.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bad news is, I can't put myself, you know, I can't ratchet my brain back to those first 20 or those first that first two flights.
Right.
And what I was feeling and what I wasn't listening to and
yes.
what my reactions and fears were back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always a struggle, I think, for instructors even to be relevant to the student in every instance, particularly when it comes to their emotions and the struggles that they're feeling at that moment.
Oh, good one. Yes, you're right. Never even thought about that. You're exactly right. The anxiety of, okay, this is the first time I'm by myself.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Am I hooking in right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all those things that you go through as
And so you really, I think it's really important, not to speak to tracking, it's really important that you build these guys up slowly and teach them the fundamental skills.
Where it's
a real killer. It's a real killer to your ego and to your progress as a student to roll your darn strike at the training field.
Oh, yeah. You know, yes. Yes, and that's what happened, yeah. That's one of the other things I want to say. Guys, all of us that have any experience have had a situation where, oh, you know, a ding or a bang, or, and it's not, okay, I'm going to jump, I'm going to cut my stuff up, I'm going to sell it. Sometimes it's just, you know, it's like, calm down, it's okay, man, it's okay.
Wait a day before you get the hacksaw.
Man, you bringing a torch to the field? Calm down. You know, it's like, holy crap.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I was going to mention, too, is that, that you know, if you're in a trike and you get your speed up and your wings off to one side and you already hammered it and you're off the ground, you know you shouldn't be. Don't wean you out on the throttle. Nothing worse is going to happen. I mean, if you're not heading towards trees or anything, just once you've made the commitment to launch,
uh-huh.
Your wheels are off the ground, hammer the throttle.
Yeah.
Because there's a good chance as you swing back under, as you become the pendulum, you know, under the wing, and there's a good chance that you've reached enough altitude that your tire won't hit the ground, and you can just walk away and say, well, that was a close call.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a good chance you'll get away with it, particularly with the lighter trikes, with the two-stroke trikes. They climb, you know, they hop off the ground, they climb pretty quickly initially. So, and at that point, if you just become frightened and jump off the throttle when you're at 4 feet, it probably isn't going to turn out good either way.
Right. Get on the throttle. How many times have I, man... one of the things is, and when you're on the ground and you're hearing it, it's like, has he got a motor problem? Oh no, he's not on the throttle. What the heck? Get on the throttle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah.
You cleared the ground, and the ground is the obstacle when you're taking off with when your wings a little bit out of configuration. The ground is what's going to tip you over.
Yes.
Because you can get another couple feet up, you're going to be all right.
You'll be all
right. Under the glider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Terry, man, daggone, great information for everybody there. Real quick, did you go to Northport? It seemed like that went off really good. I mean, the weather seemed like it was pretty good. Did you make
it up there?
Yeah,
I didn't go. But a lot of the guys, I imagine almost all the people who went there will be at Holland.
Because
it was kind of a Michigan crowd, I think. So,
okay.
So I'll get the full report on Friday.
Oh, excellent. Guys, yeah. Actually, this is the weekend coming up for Holland fly-in. So, yeah.
The beach run.
The beach run.
It looks like pretty good weather. There's a big fat high sitting over Holland Thursday, Friday, and it'll be running over into the weekend. So,
yeah, excellent. Yeah, I've been seeing some of the chit chat on the forums and stuff. People are like, "Yeah, I'll be there early and all that." So it's like, oh man, I'm not gonna look. I'm just not gonna look. Oh,
it's spectacular for me because it's 30 minutes away.
30 minutes. Yeah,
it's kind of like you in Scottsburg, you know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, same deal.
Yeah. Well, cool, Terry. Well, thanks, man. Anything else? Hey, give everybody your website before you go, and I appreciate you coming on and everything.
www.falcon4strokeppg.com if anybody's interested.
All right.
And, hey, good to talk to you again, Will, and then I'm glad you're taking care of my buddy.
Yeah, I got a couple of students now, man. If this guy calls, it'd be you. I'll have two of you guys. So, and I got a welder for him too. I got him a good welder. I just letting you know now. So, no worries.
Well, keep the welder's good. Keep the torch away from him.
Okay, you know? There you exactly. It's like, man. All right. Well, appreciate it, Terry. Thanks a lot.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
There, Terry Lucky. Want to thank him for coming on. Always enjoy talking to Terry. Terry has a lot of information. I kind of bump stuff off of him to try to get some ideas, thoughts, and see what he's thinking about certain situations as far as PPG training and all that. So I want to thank Terry for coming on and sharing his knowledge and time with us. So check out Falcon 4 Stroke. Now, one of the things that we were talking about was one of his students that was coming to fly or wanting to fly, looking for a place to fly, I'm sorry, here in Louisville and everything, and I finally got a chance to meet up with Lee. Lee is a Vietnam immigrant, and got a chance to show him where we take off at, actually in Burnville, Indiana, or Georgetown, Indiana is where most of us locals here fly that live like within the city. It's probably it's actually in farmland and stuff like that. If you fly in, if you ever been to Scottsburg, Indiana, it's kind of the same terrain and everything like that. So, but Lee has been here, I don't know how long. I know he's been powder coating here locally, I guess, for the past 15 years. So I'm not sure exactly how long he's been here in the States. Well, I asked him, what made you get into PPG? Which is a question that everybody at one point, I think, has asked. Because they think we're crazy. You know, strap a motor on the back and take off and go flying. His story was, and you have to realize it's broken English or whatever. He was in Vietnam, and Communist Viet Cong or whatever like that. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He was trying to think of ways to get the heck out of there. So his thought was to build something to fly and fly to safety, or fly away to get away from him. He went to wherever. I don't know if it's libraries, but to basically read up on as much as he could about. He said he learned how wings worked, how it was construction, how to make a flying machine, anything he could fly on, find on how to make something to fly to get the heck out of there. And and of course I'm sitting, and he was driving to the LZ, and I'm sitting there going, really? You know, just like mouth open, like, wow, you know. Unbelievable. And so then he, you know, commenced to go talk about, you know, coming to the States and being able to just buy. You know, we were kind of laughing back and forth, you know, about being able to buy something to fly, you know, and the freedom of just getting something and just strapping into it and just taking off and flying, you know. And we're laughing back and forth, and I sit there and I go, wow, man, we take for granted this 103 PPG. It is just the greatest thing to be able to just take and strap a motor on your back, three-wheel, four-wheel, buggy, whatever, and just take off and go flying with the minimum rules that we have, you know. I hope we never lose them. And I guess that's the moral I'm trying to tell you. I hope we never lose the freedom of actually just going to a little ultralight field, strapping the back, you know, strapping in a motor on and going flying. To listen to that story, to hear that story about, it just made me go, wow, unbelievable. So, but anyway, Lee's new. I got the waiver to give him, and hopefully I'm there to see him. No, I'm going to be there when the first time, just to skill level and stuff like that. Don't want to lose the flying sight, which it sounds like maybe Kankakee or Joy Phil. It sounds like we may not be able to do PPG stuff there anymore. I'm going to call some people, try to get in touch with them and see if I can't get the story about that, what's going on. I read some things or whatever and kind of, you know, got the story, but I want to talk to somebody about it. Yeah, that's, and the other thing we talk about, you know, sometimes it's best to, especially if you're, you know, dusting off the wing and it hadn't been up in a while, or, you know, that maybe it's, you know, if you're especially new to the, you know, less than 20 flights, try to, you know, and I understand if there's nobody in the area, but if there is somebody in the area, it's always good to try to get out there with somebody who's been doing it for a while. You know, don't get me wrong, first year or two I didn't have anybody, and my first 25 flights, it, you know, winging a prayer, you know. Yes, you get training. Lee did get training. Yes, she has had training from, believe it or not, Dale, and also from Terry, so at least get some training, you know. Absolutely. Safety first. So, and new guys, don't get frustrated. It's a part of it, you know. My first 20 flights were basically uneventful. My next 5, 6, 7 to 10, maybe 15 flights, I was having motor issues. Many times I thought about junking it, but step back, breathe, as, you know, if you can get help, is there somebody locally that can help you? You know, hey, and because one of the what we were talking about, you get frustrated and you do things like just throw your wing in the bag. Not good. Not good at all. You just gotta breathe and do it next time. I don't know how many times I've gone to the field, didn't get to fly. Just, you know, it wasn't meant to happen. You know, frustrating at times, but not anymore now. Just kind of, that's part of it. There's times you might go to the field and don't get to fly. You might find something, you know, safety-wise, wind, any of those things could happen, and it's a part of the sport, you know. Absolute heck. Last year was not a really good year to fly, you know. Not a good year to fly. So, and this year's been all right. The winds, it's funny, calm in the morning, and when it's time to get off, the winds are picking up. It's really strange. Usually it's vice versa. So, you know. One more thing. Cool website. Put in Google. Go to Google and put in Balloonist Forecast. Is that the name of the website? Hang on, let me check and see. Balloonist Wind Forecast. Put that in and check out that website. I'll put a link to it in the service notes or whatever in this, on the Podomatic page. So, excellent. I'm going there to check winds now. It's really cool. There are several other places you can go, underground, U.S. Air Mets, and there's also, which I've talked about I think before, Wind Finder on the Apple Store and also the Android Store. You get, you know, winds, check them out. So, all right, we'll talk more about hopefully what's going on at Kankakee. One other thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, when you're up flying, being a new person up flying, how to find your LZ back. Lee was talking about that, but I'm going to stop there, get this out to you. Thank you for listening. Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Thanks again, Terry, Falcon 4-Stroke. Safety first, guys. Safety first.